Hey, everybody. I'm Liz Nolly.
I'm Carrie Thomas.
And welcome to the Just Us podcast, a place for Black women navigating corporate spaces.
So, Liz, we have a very interesting letter that I am excited to get to. So let's go right into the readout.
Okay. All right. Well, this one is from a reader called, who calls herself Not Your Gratitude Project. Dun, dun, dun. She writes, Dear Liz and Carrie, I am a Black woman. I am a Black woman working in a corporate environment where on paper, I should feel accomplished. I've worked hard for my degrees, delivered consistently strong results, and earned praise from colleagues across the organization. But my manager has a habit of saying something that chips away at me every time. You should be thankful you even have a job.
Child, I am triggered.
I feel personally attacked.
Yes.
Triggered.
All the things.
Angry. Wait, where's that playlist from the previous episode?
Right.
Whoo wee. Okay. They're going to make me put on some DMX up in here.
Right.
But okay. Let's continue with the letter, then we'll get into it. Sometimes, she says, it's said jokingly. Other times, it's wrapped in a comment about the economy or the competitive job market. But no matter how it's delivered, the message lands the same, that I'm somehow lucky to be here instead of here because I've earned it. Mm-hmm. It's demeaning.
Mm-hmm.
It's dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me question whether she sees my value at all.
Mm.
I've tried to brush it off, but lately the comments feel heavier. I've started wondering if this is a red flag, or even worse, a sign that she sees me as replaceable.
Mm.
I've been in corporate long enough to know when someone is trying to subtly remind you of your place. I don't want to overreact, but I don't want to let this slide either. How should I handle a boss who uses, you should be thankful you have a job, as a way to manage, motivate, or minimize? Is this something I address directly, escalate, or simply take as my cue to update my resume? Signed, Not Your Gratitude Project. Go.
Why does she always do that?
Because it's fun.
Listen, first of all, you don't have to be grateful for anything.
I'm saying.
Especially something that you have worked for.
She says, she says it right there. She says it right there in the letter. She has worked hard for her degrees, delivered consistently strong results, and earned praise from colleagues across the organization.
Yeah. It is just a simple way of her boss trying to control how she behaves, what she does. It's a fear tactic to get exactly what you want from that person. Don't fall for it.
100%. This is the corporate gaslight, corporate manipulation game.
I hate this with a passion. I, as a manager, would never say this to someone. I might think it in my head, but I'm never going to say that out loud. You should be thankful you have this job. No.
Listen. Work in these United States today is a transactional relationship.
Yes, it is. I do my work, you pay me.
That's it. Work is at will. So you can come when you want to, leave when you want to. And the flip side of that coin is your employer, within a certain set of parameters, can invite you to leave if they want to, too.
Right.
Right? But we not on the plantation anymore.
But if my performance doesn't dictate that I'm going to be let go, then you don't tell me I should be thankful, because you're not going to get rid of me.
That's right.
So I don't have to listen to that from you. And then I would take it further as that's an intimidation tactic, and that is a cue for me to call HR.
hostile work environment.
Yeah.
That's what this is. If I were you, not your gratitude project, I would document every single case of when she says this to you, the circumstances, the time, the place, the date, and if there are others around who heard it. And don't let her put it in writing, because then, you know, you could be... That could hold up very well in a court of law if it goes there. And it looks good when your lawyer is negotiating a settlement agreement, too.
Right.
But I would start documenting.
Those are called receipts.
Okay. For real. Bring all the receipts. So I would start to document all of that stuff, because chances are there are other microaggressions that this manager is throwing like ninja stars in her way. Because people like that, people who, managers who have the you should be thankful you even have a job kind of thing, chances are they're a little loose with the lips when it comes to other things too.
Yeah.
So I would document anything that's remotely.
That's not the only thing that's not they're saying.
Exactly.
They're probably saying some other crazy stuff too. And there's probably more of it more of it heard by other people as well.
Exactly. And my guess is you're probably not the only person that this manager has said this to. And if you are, you got to look at, like, are you the only one that she's saying it to?
Why is she saying that to me?
I'm assuming
it's a she.
You know? Or is it that she's saying it to everybody on the team?
Mm-hmm. Either way, it's inappropriate.
But either way, you're looking at the pattern and you got to document that pattern from an HR perspective, right? If you're dealing with that. But I would also say to our friend, not the gratitude project.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to you, don't let this person get inside your head and gaslight you into thinking that your boss is doing you some kind of a favor.
Oh, this is not a favor.
We are, you know, like, gone are the days of the corporate plantation. So you don't have to yes a boss, yes ma'am, yes a massa boss to anything. No. You have earned it. You are qualified. You are there for a reason. You do your job. You do it extremely well based on what you put in this letter. Don't let anybody gaslight you into thinking that they're doing you the favor by having, if anything, every day before you walk into that place, you need to say, you know what, this company is lucky to have me, right? You the prize, like, because you're bringing all your skills, your degrees, your training, your experiences to the job. You're making your department look good every day. You're making this boss of yours look good every day. You're making your clients look good, or whatever the case may be. You need to dial back into your energy and all of the skills and accomplishments and things that you bring to the table. Don't let somebody chip that away from you.
Gaslighting is a good phrase for this, because, you know, we as Black women, we always, what's the saying, work twice as hard to get half as far.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone to tell you that you should be lucky when you know that you are doing twice the work to get recognized.
Preach.
No, I don't have to feel lucky. I'm putting in the work. So don't come at me with that, because that is definitely a gaslighting tactic.
100%. And chances are you're probably underpaid
this
anyway.
Makes me so mad.
You're probably underpaid anyway.
Right.
So
you're definitely also underpaid.
Nobody's doing you a favor. So, okay. So now that we have been sufficiently triggered and up in here, which is my new verb for things that inspire that DMX party up energy.
What is the solution for her?
Yeah, let's turn into some solutions. So I think we kind of touched upon it, but for me, number one, don't internalize that. Don't let this person get inside your head, take you at your spirit. You know, you are... You go be great every single day. because that's what that's how you're wired. You're wired for excellence. You know this. Your boss knows this. Everybody who works with you knows this. And you know this. Why? Because you put it in your letter to us. So I know you know this. So make sure that you remind yourself of that every day. And make sure you document not just these microaggressions when they happen, but document your successes, right? All those coworkers and colleagues who give you positive remarks, or every time you get a win with one of them or something like that, say, you know what, would you mind sending my boss a note saying that you enjoyed working with me on this project? Chances are they'll do it, and then they'll either blind copy you or flip you a copy of that note afterwards. All of that goes in the file, right? You got to document to see why you're A, right?
Because here's one thing, and this I've had this experience where people that I've worked with on projects have sent bad feedback, but also people have sent good feedback. And usually you can tell if the bad feedback is personal or not based on what the good feedback says.
Right.
And sometimes it completely negates what that person was saying. That person had a personal vendetta, and all of the good feedback outweighed that.
100%. I had exactly this situation. I worked for a corporate bully, and she had me questioning my ability to write, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, since I was old enough to talk, I could write well, right? And I knew it was crazy, but the way she would come at me so hard, and she was my boss and everything like that, I started questioning what I knew factually to be true. But my clients, they were like over the moon with the work that I was doing for them, not just what I was doing, but how I was doing it and the way that I managed their expectations and built relationships with them and everything. And it was the positive feedback, overwhelmingly positive feedback from them. And thankfully, the organization I worked at did 360s. So all of the negative stuff that she was negatively campaigning about relative to me was severely overweighed and outweighed by everybody else that I work with, whether it was a peer, whether it was a CEO above her and above, everybody in between was overwhelmingly positive. It was personal, you know, and it was a power play.
Yeah.
So
I had that experience because one person, I supported a C-suite executive with their communications, and one person was afraid to tell that executive something about this announcement that we were working on. And I would not make the changes until they spoke to the executive.
Right.
But they refused to do it.
Mm.
And so in their minds, I was being
difficult.
Yeah,
you were the problem.
But you want me to fix your problem for you. That's not why I'm here.
Right.
You need to have that conversation with your boss.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that you deal with in these type of situations that you should be thankful for.
Wait, time out for some black conversation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you are nobody's charity case. Remember that, right? Like, you had to interview with multiple people. You had to come...
Right.
Demonstrate a portfolio of experiences, a portfolio of work, portfolio of credentials, degrees, training, et cetera. You deserve to be there, and you get compensated with that. That's what your paycheck and your bonus and your benefits and all of that is for, because you deserve to be there. There are no favors here. Nobody's lucky, right?
Yeah.
Like there's no beholdingness here,
right.
Okay?
Unless you think that she is questioning your work. Your performance.
Yeah, that's a
and
separate
then that's
issue.
Another conversation.
That's a separate issue. But she in the letter, she says that there's no performance issues.
Right.
And
so
to guard against that, go out there, document those successes, document your wins, and get some third party endorsements and, notes.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever be afraid to ask your internal clients, colleagues who give you praises, to you, who you did a great job for, to drop a line to your boss. Because chances are, if you're having a major issue with a particular boss, other people are having an issue with that boss. So you don't know. Yeah. You don't know the air up there because you're so like into the weeds of your own experience.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Don't internalize it. You're nobody's charity case. Document your successes. So that's number one and number two. And if it's appropriate, and if you have this personality type, you can push back and call BS.
This was written for me. Tell me.
In a professional way. In a professional way. In a professional way. You can go back and say to your boss, like, what do you mean? I'm sorry, can you provide some more clarification about what you mean by that? Is this a performance issue or is there something else going on here? Can I get 30 minutes on your calendar? We'd like to discuss it. And then check in, say, I know you repeatedly say that I'm lucky to have a job. Just want to make sure that I understand where that's coming from. What's driving that? Put her on the spot, flip that script, change
because
that dynamic.
If there's no issue with my work performance, then it's not luck.
Right, right. Where she's just, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, fine. Well, I'd appreciate it if you didn't joke like that because I don't find it funny. And to me, it feels a little bit threatening. It feels it creates insecurity in the department, and it's not the best for the team's morale.
Exactly.
You know, when you
all
you
of say, the above.
When you say things like that, I mean, like you can find the ways to say it that works for you. But yeah, you can call her out, but do it professionally. Don't go full DMX up in here on her, okay? But I'm just saying, like,
could go Dolly Parton 9 to 5.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, in that movie they wrapped that man up and left him in the office overnight. Don't kidnap your boss.
Don't do that. But invite her to a conversation or in your next one-on-one, ask her, what do you mean by that? Like, what's behind that? Or when you say that, like, is that your way of signaling to me that layoffs are coming and I should be looking for other opportunities?
Yep.
You know, like, you can call her out on that, or are you just being funny? Well, quite frankly, if you could keep those jokes to the minimum, because I don't think it's funny. I find it, you know, a little bit intimidating, if not, you know.
It sounds like a threat.
Yeah, it sounds like a threat.
Yeah.
And you can say, is that meant to be a threat, or is that a joke, or are layoffs coming? What's underneath that? What's behind that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then let her defend.
Yes.
And if you're afraid to have that conversation with her by yourself, you know, if you know that other people she said that kind of thing to, ask it at a staff meeting or ask it in front of other people or get your HR business partner to sit down with you and have that conversation as a threesome.
Does not hurt to have a conversation with HR if it gets to where they're saying this constantly and you are feeling a little bit intimidated or threatened. Have the conversation with HR.
You know, and if you're the only one, HR people pick up on those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
And you could say it's the only, you know, black woman in the department. I don't know if that's a threat. I don't know if she's signaling something to me. I don't know how to take that. So I'm wondering if you could join me for a conversation with her, you know, and sit down in the three of us. I just want to have somebody else present so that, you know, the conversation gets documented.
You also want it documented that you had a conversation with HR. Now sometimes HR can be a little ineffective. No offense to anybody in HR, but sometimes because they are towing the corporate line, they may not have a sense of urgency about this, but they do have to document that you had the conversation.
Right.
And that's what you want to have on the books.
100%. You got to memorialize that conversation.
Absolutely.
And document it. All right. Another thing that I would say is, we talked about this a little bit, is take inventory. Mm-hmm. Like, are you the only person that she's saying? Is it the culture of your organization? Mm. Like, when you talk to other colleagues in other pockets of the organization, are there bosses? Like, do you work in just a toxic environment where all of the managers are like, y'all are lucky to be here, you know, whatever. Like, you know, that speaks to a bigger cultural problem across the organization. Or is it just this one manager, or what's the word on the street? You know, like, see, you can poke around with other clients, other people that interact with your boss, other colleagues and things like that, and just see if it's a pattern of one person or if it's indicative of a broader culture. And then you can make some decisions around, you know, how, you know, where to go and how to go from here.
Is it different if your manager is saying you're lucky to have a job, or we're all lucky to have a job? Does it matter? Is that semantics, or does it mean something different if they say we're all lucky to have a job?
I think it's an important nuance.
Okay.
Because you're lucky to have a job. That's you.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, well, you know, we're lucky to have jobs, like, kind of thing. That means that your manager is fearful of something broader and bigger, like signaling, hey, we on the Titanic together and we're about to go down, versus I'm about to push you over. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's
I'm Rose and you're Jack.
And there's only room for one of us on the door.
There's only room for me on this board.
You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's the nuance. And if you can have that conversation with your boss and say, what's behind that? Like, are layoffs coming? Are all of our jobs in jeopardy? Or is this a threat just for me? Like, you know, that's why you have to look at that. Or is it just a broader culture?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we worked at a place where, you know, managers would throw that line around like frisbees. Like, everybody said that. Like, you know, like,
the whole place was in flames.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't just like, it wasn't personal, like, between like a manager and personal. Like, this letter, this, from what I get based on just what's in the letter, it seems like a one-on-one problem versus like it. But that's why you have to do your research and poke around and get that intel and look for the patterns. Like, is everybody's manager saying, you know, you're saying this, or is only my manager saying it? Okay. And if it's only my manager saying it, is she only saying it to me, or is she saying it to everybody else?
Yeah.
And then you get a real clear picture of what's going on here.
Yeah.
And then finally, not your gratitude project.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, regardless of what happens, update that resume anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you always.
Every year.
Yeah.
At least once a year, I check my resume. Make sure it's updated. Change some language, whatever.
Got to have your corporate go bag ready.
Be ready.
Be ready. And have that financial go bag ready, right? Build your financial cushion. So sock away some of that bonus. Like, get your 6 months of salary in your cash reserve somewhere in case, you know, maybe it's not your manager. Maybe it is, you know, the organization. Something's coming around the pipe that you don't see. You know, so just make sure that you're ready. Like, but part of being ready is making sure that your resume is up to date,
mm-hmm.
that your cover letter is up, that you're in regular regular contact with those references, not just, you know, the day before you need them to be called, you know, like build those relationships with those key people, you know, keep your network live and popping in case you ever need, you know, the time to start networking isn't when you need your network. Right. You got to start networking long before you need your network so that it's primed and ready to go when you need it. And your resume is the same way.
Yeah.
You want to keep it up to date.
And listen, if you are lucky to have that job, your luck will bring you another one. Thank you.
Wait. Carrie, Amir, we got to come up with an emoji for like a mic drop or something. Cause every time Carrie's got bars, we got to come up with a little graphic for that or something. But I don't know.
That's my new tagline. She has the bars.
She got we should do that t-shirt store. She got bars in the store at listofpurposecoach.com/store. Shameless plug. Support the podcast, buy our merch, get the merch, but maybe that's a t-shirt that we have to add into the store.
There you go.
But seriously, like you always got to be ready. Right? Yeah, like, absolutely. What's the expression? You got to stay ready so you never have to get ready.
Exactly.
Like, so part of that is making sure that your resume ought to be up to date anyway. I had a former boss turned mentor who told me that he goes on at least 2 interviews a year. And he had been with his company for like...
Tell me the same thing.
And he had been with the company like 20 years.
Yeah.
I was like, you've been here forever. You're not going anywhere. Why would you do that? Like, at the time he told me, I didn't understand, right?
Yeah.
I totally didn't understand. And he was like, just to keep my skills sharp.
That's what
she
said.
To keep my resume sharp and to check my market value.
There you go.
I was like, ooh, check my value. You know, they're always talking about know your worth.
Exactly.
Know your worth.
This is it. Yeah.
And it's not just... Okay, as Black folk, we are strong on the intrinsic value that we possess, the spiritual value.
What does that mean?
Spiritual value, you know, the value of having you in my life.
Right.
And the value of being in the presence.
You mean so much to me.
You know what I mean? Like, we go hard in that intrinsic paint. But... You can't pay bills with intrinsic value.
You cannot Wait, pay bills.
Time out from Black conversation.
Really?
So you have to know your market value.
Exactly.
The dollar amount that your skills and collective experiences, your swag, all of your intangibles, like they talking about football players have intangibles.
Yes.
All of those things go in your personal brand. All of that goes into determining your market value, right? And so when he said that, I was like, huh, it made a lot of sense to me. I hadn't heard that before. I was like in my 30s when he said that. That was like, and so, you know, so that's good practice anyway.
It really is. And I learned from that when my manager said that. My manager was a Black woman at the time.
Mine was a Black man who told me.
And she said the same thing. Now, I don't know if she said who else she said that to, but she took special interest in letting me know that did not discourage me from doing it. So that was good, beneficial, because when the time came and it was time for me to ask for that number, I was prepared because I knew what was out there in the world waiting for me.
Black conversation.
Yes, I did.
You got to, unless you got a friend that works in compensation and benefits and can give you
which
what
we do,
and can give you those pay grade ranges and all of that, and can give you the comp data on what you ought to be earning and stuff like that. Even if you do have that friend, whether you do or you don't, it's good to go out, check your market value, and keep your network fresh, because that same job that you turned down just because you were in a market value check kind of a mode, that could be, you know, a God opportunity for you down the road, and that you didn't even know like was out there. Like it could be something, you know, like you
may
just
have
don't
met
know.
Another person in that interview process that becomes part of your network. And when the time comes, that connection is valuable.
Exactly. 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 Exactly.
And so, not just intrinsically.
100%. So we're rooting for you, our good sister, not your gratitude project. Those are my thoughts. Any parting thoughts for you?
No, I think we said it all. I would say she has a lot to be grateful for, but that paycheck is not something of gratitude. That is a transactional action, and you can feel free to remind them of that.
100%. And if you don't remind anybody else, remind yourself
exactly
of that. You were there for that paycheck, that incentive compensation, incentive pay.
And do not devalue yourself because of what someone else says.
That part. And make sure you get your dollar on the dollar.
Yeah.
Not the 60 cents on the dollar.
Right.
You know, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Like, I actually had a boss tell me, well, you get paid very well. And I was like, yeah, I've earned it.
Right.
I was like, I've earned it. I said, you see my resume, have you? That's what I said. I said, well, based on my skills and experiences, I said, I'm happy to send you a copy of my resume if you like.
That's the clap back right there.
Let them know. And she got real quiet and everything. And I said, okay. So then I let her off the hook after that because I knew she felt real uncomfortable. I was like, you know, like Jay-Z says, I got 99 problems at work, but my paycheck's not one. And she just started laughing, you know, because she's, you know, she wasn't one of us, but she likes our culture and our music. So, you know, I tried to bridge the gap in a manner in which she understood.
That's the way you made her feel welcome.
I did, but not invited to the cookout. She can't come to the cookout, but that's another episode.
One day we're going to have a conversation
about why
I am not coming to the cookout.
Look, I got security at the cookout.
You better if you want me to show up. That's all I'm saying.
Some of us ain't getting into my cookout. I'm just saying. So y'all stop being invites, but I digress.
Top 10 reasons why I'm not coming to the cookout on the next episode.
Yeah, we're going to have that one. But for our dear letter writer, oh, wow! Not the family-friendly version. Thank you, Amir. Right on time, as always, with the audio. But seriously, all jokes aside, we have a lot of fun on this show because we deal with a lot of serious topics.
Yeah.
But not your gratitude project. You are right. You are nobody's gratitude project. Mm-hmm. You know, you are a fierce, competent, capable, accomplished professional who my hope for you is that you are appropriately compensated for all that you bring to the table. So don't let this gaslight game or any other gaslight game make you question your worth, but have your corporate go bag ready to include your financial safety net and your updated resume and all those tools. Document, 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 but keep yourself lifted and prayed up and stood up and, like, don't suffer silently on this one.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You got options.
Exactly.
Got
that
options.
Was a good one.
Yeah.
That letter really got to me.
Whew, girl.
More so than some of the other ones because...
We've been there.
Yes. I was triggered.
I was attacked.
It felt like maybe I wrote that letter.
Okay.
I did not, but
I was.
But I could have.
I was like, get out of my head, not your gratitude project.
Exactly.
But if you're out there and you're dealing with a situation in corporate America and you want some coaching and support, advice, guidance, or whatever, like, hit us up at lizthepurposecoach.com/podcast. Just, you know, check the notes below and check the website below. And send us your letter. Or if you really, really want some some extra love from Carrie and myself. Come on the show.
Come hang out with us.
Come hang out with us. We'll boss some things. We'll toss some things.
Yes, we will.
And we'll give you some coaching on the show. All right.
Awesome.
So thank you, Nacho Gratitude Project, for trusting us to support you with your letter today. Appreciate you.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or a brand with an incredible story to tell, but struggling to get the word out? In today's crowded market, getting noticed is tougher than ever. There's been countless incredible businesses with powerful messages that have just gotten lost in the noise. That's where Imagine PR and Marketing comes in. We don't just craft press releases. We become the voice of your brand, meticulously developing and telling your unique story in a way that truly resonates with your audience and gets attention. Ready to transform your brand's visibility? Visit ImaginePRM.com today.
Well, next up is one of our favorite segments. We're going to boss it or toss it.
I love this part.
And in the spirit of dealing with the stresses at work, sometimes you just want to take a break.
Yeah.
And we tend to like to go a lot of different places.
Oof. Yeah, we love us some Martha's Vineyard.
So I thought.
We love us some Martha's Vineyard. Thank you.
So I thought we could go on vacation.
I love
this. And we could boss or toss some vacation spots that we love, Black folks love, that are not Martha's Vineyard.
I love this. Thank you, Carrie. Oh, I can't wait to hear what's on this list, because during a certain time of year, around Labor Day weekend and stuff like that, like, you would think Martha's Vineyard is the only place on earth that Black folks like to go. I'm saying, you know, so I am so curious, intrigued, and excited to figure out what's on this list, to find out what's on this list.
All right. So, boss it or toss it, Atlantic City. Good job.
Okay. Being Jersey girls.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't like Atlantic City, but I don't like Atlantic City.
Same.
Like.
Exactly.
Like, I go there, like, all the time for conferences. I go to the spa. I go down. I got people in South Jersey and the whole nine. But
there is stuff to do.
There's plenty to do. I go to concerts
there. Not plenty. There's stuff to do.
I go to concerts there.
Go to a concert
there. They got
there.
Kelsey's. They got, you know, like, it's a whole Chicken Bone Beach. Or like, it's a whole vibe. Like, you know, it's a whole thing. But when I think of vacation,
yeah,
that's not on the list.
That's a weekender. I'm going to this show and it's down in Atlantic City, so I'm going to stay over.
Atlantic City's kind of like you grow up living next to like somebody that becomes like a big superstar, mm-hmm. and they're like Michael Jackson to the world, but they're just Mike from around the way. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just, you know, like, and you're just like, oh, that's just
Atlantic City is Mike.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, it's just like, you're just like, whatever. Yeah, I know him. Yeah.
Yes, the you know, kid like, from up the street.
You know, right. like that's Atlantic City. So yeah. All right.
Okay. Next up. Dubai.
Ooh, I'm going to boss Dubai because that's on the to-do list. That's on the places to go. You're tossing Dubai?
Tossing Dubai.
Why? I'm going to go. I'm curious.
Overrated.
It's over. Really?
That's what I think. I've never been.
That's. I love this. This is why we do this segment.
But I think it's overrated.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Overrated? Wow.
Yeah, let me know how it goes when you go there.
I will. I'll let you know if it's overrated or not.
Next up, Jamaica.
I love Jamaica.
I'm boss in Jamaica. I don't care what anybody
says. All day. The food,
Jamaica,
the vibe, the music.
The perfect Black folks vacation spot. Okay, because we love the food, we love the music, like you just said, we love the vibe.
And they like us there.
Everything is Irie, okay?
Irie, oh.
You cannot tell me Jamaica is not the boss.
And even when, like, a Jamaican is mad and telling you off, there's something very lyrical and musical about it. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. I was wrong for that.
Yeah.
It's poetic. Yeah, I was thinking, like, so shout out to Jamaica.
I think I put in
our group chat that I think I was like, I must be like, my 23andMe must have some Jamaican
yes.
DNA somewhere, because I get the best, like, Jamaican reels that come up in my
love
Instagram.
It.
And I'm here for all of it. Like, shout out to Jamaica. You know, one love, one people, one destiny.
I can't wait
destiny.
To go back.
Me either. Yeah. I love Jamaica.
Cruises.
I'd rather just get to someplace. And after the Middle Passage, black people on a boat.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there.
You went all the way back to the beginning.
Although, shout out to Ted Lang playing Isaac. That's the only black man on a boat I need to see.
Right, on the love boat.
That's the only black man I need to see on a boat. But yeah.
I do not love being on the water nonstop.
Yeah.
For some places, you have to be on the water for over 24 hours.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm like out of my mind.
Yeah.
I want to be in a place as much as possible.
Exactly. 2 days on the water, that could be 2 days enjoying, exploring,
yeah.
climbing and mountains,
there's
and going
not
to
that
museums
much to
and stuff
do
like that.
On those boats. On like those they try to come up with stuff,
they
but
get
it's
real
not.
Small.
Yeah.
And
no.
being trapped on a bunch of like and.
Yeah. Mm. I don't love cruises.
I don't love cruises either. Although I think everybody should go on at least one cruise.
At least
to have,
one.
Go on at least one to have the experience.
But my people love cruises.
My people. Yeah, your people do love cruises.
Your people. The Jamaicans. All right. Next up, Miami.
I'm going to toss Miami.
I'm bossing Miami. Amir's bossing Miami.
If I'm going to Miami, I'm going all the way to Puerto Rico. This is all I'm saying.
Oh, well, that's valid.
Like,
or Key West.
Like, you know, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Miami has a lot of awesome things going for it and stuff like
yeah.
that and everything. But I think I'm kind of like over Miami.
So I'm a Florida girl in addition to being a Jersey girl.
Yes, you are.
And I love Miami. I love not the strip of Miami.
Yeah.
I like the beach.
Yeah.
It really is a great beach.
They do
and
have beautiful beaches.
They have amazing food in Miami. And it is expensive, but it's such a laid back vibe off the strip. I keep saying that.
Okay.
And sometimes the strip is fun. If you are with the right group, you can have fun on the strip. So I still like it.
Yeah.
I'm not going during spring break or during Independence Day weekend or whatever. Oof. That's the wrong time to go. But there are good times to go to Miami.
Yeah, I'm just over Miami. I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
No need to do it again. But if I went, I'd enjoy it. But
yeah.
Not going to prioritize it.
Okay. How about Las Vegas?
Oh, I love Vegas.
You do?
I do. I do. I've bossed Vegas. The reason why I would boss Vegas is because, like New York City, like, there's something, it's 24 hours, there's always
yeah.
something to do.
That's true.
You can get into all kinds of shenanigans if you want to. Or you could just chill and enjoy, you know, Grand Canyon, Hoover Dam. Like, it's a short trip to a whole bunch of other places.
Well, when you say that, then that's different. I'm thinking
like
Vegas Strip and walking up and down the Strip just is not fun for me when we've done that. So
I get it. I get it. Vegas is like Miami for you. Been there and done that. Moved on. But yeah.
Same thing.
I feel you.
Okay. Next up, Ghana, the country in Africa.
I've never been, but I want to go. So I'm going to boss.
I'm going to boss Ghana.
I'm going to boss Ghana. Yeah.
And then
I want to go to the door, no return.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, and then finally I have one more. Home.
Boss all boss day. Home.
I will be comfortable at home any chance I get.
I love home like a Stephanie Mills song. This is all I'm saying. I do.
Like, we could do this again. I have some more, but we'll save those for next time.
We'll save those for another. Like, yeah. That's why I wasn't pressed over the pandemic. I was home.
I was not either. Let me tell you.
Quarantine was easy work.
That was also incentive for why I am now not in corporate America again. Because
you're not alone.
The idea of being at home rather than going into the office appeals to me.
This is all I'm saying. Good luck.
So, yes.
Good luck.
Thank you.
We'll have to take some more Boss It or Toss It vacations together.
Yeah, that was a good one.
In a future episode. Well, good list, Carrie. Good list. Very good list.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Thanks, Liz.
No, thanks. Thank you. Well,
that's it for us.
That's it for this episode, y'all. Come see us again. Tune in.
Yes.
To the next episode. And we'll see you. We'll see you next time.
And don't forget to like and subscribe to the Just Us podcast.
So you never miss an episode.